Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's up, T?
What is going on, my man?
Not a mucha.
We are live, of course, on Facebook and YouTube today. You may also be listening to us in a re-listen or a rewatch. You may be watching us again as well on a replay. But I want to talk about listening, because for those who don't know, this is also a podcast, which means each and every show is available on all the major streaming podcast platforms, whether that's Spotify, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, don't know many more. But yes, if you cannot catch us for some reason on visual anymore, remember, whether you're running, at the gym, on a drive, you can always listen to us via the podcast. If you do listen to us on the podcast and do enjoy the content, please consider leaving a review, as it helps those who may be looking for this type of content, this content that can maybe help them get through their days, their months, their lives. When you leave a good positive review, it helps the algorithms of these podcast platforms feed it to people who may need it. So that is why we ask. I should say this too, my brother Taj and I, we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. And what we like to do here on the Power of Love Show is share our opinions and our experiences in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. Now, as you may know, maybe not, but we are two of three brothers who lost their mother back in the 90s. That was the moving factor for creating the Dede Jackson Foundation. We wanted to do something that can help people get through very difficult, very challenging situations in their own lives. So if you're new to DDJF, consider going to our website, www.ddjf.org, or follow us on one of the social media handles. I'm just going to give out the Instagram one for now. That is at DD Jackson Foundation, all spelled out. So D-E-E-D-E-E Jackson Foundation. We are on Twitter and Facebook as well. But I do that, I want to tell you guys, because it's beyond just the Power of Love Show, and I want to make sure you guys are aware of the other things we are doing. All right, so Taj Jackson, that is pretty much the intro. But as we've done for, 4 years now, more than that, 5 years, 6 years maybe, doing the show, we like to start our show off with a little update of how the week has been. So I'm going to ask you, how was your week?
Great. We did, even though Taylor's birthday is on the 21st of November, we celebrated it last week. I don't even remember what day it was, to be honest. I know it was on the 2nd, December 2nd, whatever day that was. Incredible, always, you know, just, I remember how important birthdays were for me in general and for us. Mm-hmm. And, that was just great. We got to meet a lot of her school friends, mothers and fathers for the first time. And that way, cause she's at a new school. So that was, you know, great as well. So it was a lot of, cool thing. And then obviously her old school, a lot of, majority of her friends from her old school, the parents and the kids came. So it was really cool. I'm really happy with the band of people that we have, the who we have in her circle. And that, if that makes sense.
Very cool. Very cool. So for me, I don't think there's much been going on. Just recovering still from a busy end of
any
the
traveling?
Fall and any the early winter.
I know you had tournaments.
JoJo actually won her first trophy in this weekend's tournament. So see? Very proud of her. Yeah, she was a finalist. She played G16. So she just turned 13, actually, on November 30th, which I think was last Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last Thursday? I don't know the date of anything.
Yeah. So. Last Thursday. So that's one thing. She turned, there you go, Taj. Now you remind me. She had a sleepover on Friday night with some friends. And then she had a tournament that last weekend. And like I said, won her first trophy in tennis. She's been putting a lot of work in trying to improve, and she's been improving. So I was really happy and proud of her.
How was she with that? Just because she's been grinding.
Yeah, you know, it's cool because she didn't win the championship because she made it to the championship. She won her bracket. There was two brackets.
Yeah.
And then but it was cool because, you know, tennis is tough. Tennis is tough because, you know, you can have a tournament with 16, 24, 32 girls, boys, whatever it is, whatever, you know, in a tournament, and only one is going home happy. You know, everyone else is going home with a loss.
Disappointed.
Yes. Disappointed. Their season ended with the loss. So tennis is challenging in that way. And you have to see a big picture. You have to take your wins how they come. And this was a win for her. Like I said, she played great enough to get to the finals and was on a high, feeling really good. And then she met a really, really strong player. So she lost and was down. But I think, like I said, she is the furthest she gotten. So she was happy. She got a cool little trophy. So it was good.
Baseball is different because baseball, your team could lose, but you could have done really well, and it balances out. You're like, oh, you know, dang, we lost, but I did well. True. Like, or at least, you know, it softens it. But tennis is such a personal game. It's just you.
Yeah, that's what it is, Taj. Like, if you lose, you have your teammates there to pick you up, and they probably could have done something to help you win. So the responsibility is shared.
Yeah.
Where and it's funny because Didi's played obviously a lot longer than Joe. And I was talking to a mother, this was probably like 8 years ago, and she said, my girls will always play this game, no matter how great they are, because it just builds character like nothing else I've seen. Your kids learn how to lose. They learn that, you know, you have to pick yourself up and continue moving forward. And that stuck with me. And it's a really cool thing if you think about it from that approach.
Cool.
So, all right. So yeah, but it was a good week as well for me as well. I'm rocking Papa T's Love
One. I love that.
I love this shirt, man. This has become my favorite shirt. You know, it's funny. I don't know if you're guilty. You wear the same thing every time. But for me, sometimes shirts get lost in my closet and I don't see them. And then I was like, oh, this is cool. And I wear it. And then next thing you know, I'm wearing it over and over and over because now it's like I find it. But I see the Love One Another behind you. Is that a backpack?
I'm rocking the backpack. Yeah.
That's cool. I want a backpack. Anyways, Taj, let's get on to our show. It's a very cool show. It's just you and I today. It's actually just you and me today.
Yeah.
Yes. You and me, because we are not the subject. It is the subject. It means the show.
Subtract one of them. So if it's just me, that sounds more than it's just I.
Ooh, like, I mean, that's
my cheat. So yeah.
I never thought about that. Yeah, I was thinking because if you're the subject, that's the only time you use I.
No, that's too complicated. It's just like, it's just me.
Okay. But if we said you and I are going to do this show, that's correct. All right, there we go. All right, anyways, enough of the grammar English lesson. Let's get on to our wonderful show. So we, of course, want to welcome everyone again to this special episode of the Power of Love show. As many of you may remember, back in September, we dedicated an entire episode to what we titled Community Chat, a Grief Check-In, where we created a safe space to openly discuss our grief with you, our DDJF community. After such a meaningful conversation with you all, we decided to dedicate today's episode to the second installment of Community Chat. But this time we are focusing on the holiday season. Now, we understand that the holiday season can be difficult for those who are grieving, as our motto at DDJF is, you are not alone. We want to check in with each and every one of you during this season. Our goal is to connect and see where you are in your grief journey today, with the hope of finding solace and support through our shared experiences. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's dive into today's community chat, a grief check-in holiday edition. So, Taj, we are now going to begin this grief check-in session, and as we do so, we think it's important to take a moment and reflect on our grief journeys. Just like we did to kick off our last community chat, we encourage each of you watching at home to self-evaluate. And if you're comfortable doing so, please share how you would rate your level of grief today during this holiday season on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, you may be asking, I know Taj is asking, but you may be asking, how are we scoring? How are we scaling this thing? So we're going to go with 1 means you're doing relatively well, and 10 means your grief feels overwhelmingly high. So it's a little opposite of what you may be thinking, but since this is a show on grief and how we like to spotlight grief, we're going to give grief the high number. So that doesn't mean we want to encourage you to say you are more down than you are. We just want to remind everyone that a high number means your grief is feeling overwhelming today. So remember, though, this is a safe space and sharing is optional, but could provide an opportunity for support and reconnection. Okay, so while we wait to read the ratings of everyone's grief, I'm going to ask levels in the chat. I'm going to ask some questions, but Taj, I'd like to take this opportunity to pose a set of reflective questions to you first, if that's okay. So let's start with this very first question. What one word would you use to capture the essence of your grief during the holiday season? Would you say it's intense, overwhelming, heartbreaking, raw? What would you say, Taj, for you?
That's a good question, because for me, in general, as you know, I always try and counter grief with optimism or something, or, you know, or thankfulness or some kind of thing. So the holiday season's this time coming around, it's almost like a chance for me to like kind of look at it a little differently, if that makes sense. Obviously, I'm missing the people that are no longer here in that way. And it's alarming because it reminds you who's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. And that way, you can't share in that joy. But at the same time, I'm trying to let the atmosphere and the spirit of Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is that you're celebrating, that just that holiday spirit, I'm trying to let that absorb me, per se. So I'm trying not to, because right now with what's going on with everything around in my life, like it would be very easy to fall in that trap of grief and not be able to get out of it. So I would say I'm somewhat trying to be optimistic about the holidays and the new year, I would say. But grief-wise, I'm trying to, I don't want to say ignore it, because you can't ignore grief. I'm just trying to not focus on it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really interesting, because I'm looking through a lot of your numbers. Farhat says, I would say 6 or 7 for 2 years now since my late aunt's passing. I would say there is and I want to read Lala Chan real quick. She says, for me, loneliness, because it's not the same without mom and my grandmother. Yeah. I would say we have to respect, be aware of the role what loneliness can play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, sometimes, you know, we want to be alone, maybe, but I would just caution everyone that being completely alone can be detrimental to your recovery, to your healing. Even if it, like for me, I didn't know it, but when we lost mom, I was just turned 16, and I was a private, pretty trying to, I don't want to say strong will, but like a private trying to be a strong, tough, quote unquote, tough person that I didn't want to really open up to anyone. So counseling, none of that was really something I wanted to even think of doing. But for me, thank goodness I had my dog, you know, and even though, and I had a girlfriend, and, you know, my friends who are still my best friends to this day, which always help. But even in that time, you know, whether they're at school, there's always that sense of loneliness. And if we can try to respect that, and I don't want to say fight against that, but plan for those occasional loneliness bouts and making sure they don't last too long, I think that will help a lot of us get through these very difficult moments, especially when it comes to holiday seasons, where you feel like you're supposed to be with others, where you're feels like you're supposed to be with family. So please be careful with that. And again, I just feel like that's, I don't want to say quick fix, because there is no quick fix, but that's something that could help you in dealing with it. Camila says, I'm at a 4. My mom and dad who are gone would want me to be happy. So I try to remember that. Thank you to both of you for the hard work you do for others. It's the Jackson way. Very, very sweet, Camila.
Yeah, I think grief in general is lonely in that way, even because it's so personal and it's so internal and everyone grieves differently. So even if you're grieving with someone else, it's still your journey and how you feel is still personal. It's still singular in that way. And so that isolation can feel like loneliness in that. And we also have to keep in mind, there are people that don't have a built-in unit or built-in family or built-in friends and stuff like that too, in that way. Not everyone has that and an aspect of it. And, you know, for me, we were very lucky to have that in that way. But other people don't have that. And I would pray that they would seek others, you know, in that way. There's great communities, you know, DDJF being one of them. You know, just feeling alone is such a horrible feeling in general. I've been there in that way, even as someone that just said that they had family and friends, and you said that too. Mm-hmm. You still can feel lonely. You can still feel like you're alone in that way.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie says, I visited the cemetery where many of my family members have been buried this past weekend. I really felt the need to be there. I miss them so much. You know, thanks for sharing that, Stephanie. I want to just speak on our personal experiences. I've been to my mother's cemetery probably 3 times since her passing, maybe 4. You know, the day of her funeral, the day for the TV show when we went with Tara, which was very challenging to see my brother struggle. And then I went maybe a couple years ago. You know, we buried a friend over there, and I went over to find my mother as well. And I can say this for anyone who hasn't been back to the burial site, like how we did not, I would suggest you go. And people were suggesting for us to go, at least for me to go. And they were right. I think there's something of a connecting thing that happens when you go and visit. I will never force or push or strongly urge someone to go, but I do think it's a good thing for you if you feel you need it.
I would say it's a good thing to try in that way. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I don't think it changed me at all in that way. When we went, because I had not gone back since obviously that day. And then we did that for our TV show. We went for, and I saw how therapeutic it was for Terrell. But for me, I didn't feel the same in that way. But I was willing to give it a shot. And I think anyone should give it a shot, because you can feel some connection. You can feel, you know, therapeutic in that way. But I also don't want people to feel disappointed if they don't in that way. Cause I was a little disappointed with going, you know, in that way. I didn't feel a connection, cause I always felt the connection, you know, it wasn't like I felt a stronger connection, like, oh, let's go. If I go to the gravesite, I might feel stronger. I felt the same. So it was kind of, different for me.
Lisa has a comment. She says, it's hard to celebrate this holiday. I just lost my mother at the end of August this year, and it's really, really hard. I have 3 brothers, and I'm the only girl. Does it get any easier with losing your mother? Lisa, first of all, our love, condolences, all the light in the world, and the biggest hug from myself and my brother and our foundation and the community. No one knows what you are going through. We've experienced losing our mother as well, but all of our situations are different. I know it sounds cliche, but it's the 100% truth. You have a bond with your mother that none of us can relate to, especially with having 3 brothers and being the only girl. So first and foremost, I just want to acknowledge that you are allowed to feel however you feel you need to feel. There's no right, no wrong. Please do not judge that. The thing I would ask for you to do is to lean on your friends, your family. And it could just be one person. I don't know your brothers, but if there's one that you feel you had the best family relationship with, or understood you the best, or the, was the most, what's the word I want to use? Was the most emotionally connected to you, lean on them. Let them know I'm struggling a bit today, or let them know, can I vent to you for 10 minutes? And then even if at the end of 10 minutes, you said, okay, I appreciate, thank you for letting me get it out. And there'll probably be a hug there that will give you a lot of strength and a lot of comfort. You will feel like you're not alone. Now to answer your question specifically, does it get any easier? It's a challenging question. The bulk of me wants to say it gets easier, but it never goes away. And it changes in time. You know, I think, and when I say that, it's because year five could feel better than year one, but year six may feel worse than year three. So you just don't know. You know, it could be a song that comes on that sparks a whole new bout of struggle. It can be a store closing, someone wearing a similar style that your mom wore. It could be so many different things that no one else, it may not hit anyone else. So you could be walking with your brothers and experience a shot to your heart that they don't even know or can't relate to. So this is why I say it's your experience, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, Lisa, this is one of the reasons why it was important for us to do this foundation, is to let you know that you do have a community. And I do want to share this. I know it seems like a plug, but it's a true, let me see. I want to find this. It's the Facebook group. It's a wonderful group for anyone who's on Facebook. Go ahead and try to join that. And there's a community of us where you can vent, you can get things out, and you'll just feel constant support. It just won't be on today, like on a Wednesday. You will always get that support. So I just wanted to also suggest that. Taj, was there anything else you wanted to add to the Lisa question?
Or no, the Lisa comment? I mean, I'm very proud of our community. In general, I think you're spot on. Like, it's different times. It's different every time in that way. And it doesn't get easier. It just, I think you learn how to live and adapt with your grief in that way. And there's certain triggers that happen throughout life that can bring it right all the way back in that way. Life events like a wedding or a birth or something like that, where you're like, that person's not here to celebrate with. And that's, as a reminder. It's not going to ever go away. But you're going to also have, I don't want to say you're going to be strong. You're going to have some strength, as years go by. You're going to develop strength to deal with the grief, I should say, because it never goes away.
Okay. The next question we're going to go to, I should just highlight it here for the community chat. And remember, everyone, this is a perfect time for you to, you could just answer the questions in the chat if you're comfortable doing so. And then we'll pick a couple, maybe highlight and comment on those. But the question is, and Taj, if you want to answer first, you can. Do you find that your grief changes or becomes intensified during the holiday season? Would you say it grows at this time of the year?
Luckily for me, no, only because I always, whenever I know that grief is going to appear its ugly head, I try and counter right away. I try and, do the opposite, celebratory, watch happy things, on TV and stuff like that. I really try and counterbalance the grief in some way or form. And, so the holiday seasons for me, it's I can kind of do that, but at the same time, there's that constant reminder of someone not being there for pictures, for this and that, for your opening presents or your giving presents, and there's one less present to give. in that way. So it can be that reminder in terms of intensified. But I've been very lucky, and that's why I'm not the best person to answer that, because I have really not allowed myself, and I'm saying that in not a positive way, because you're supposed to allow yourself to deal with grief and sit in your grief, but I have never allowed myself to do that in that way. So, and I'm hoping that that doesn't come to bite me in the butt later on, but I haven't been fortunate to be able to do that.
For me, I would say in the beginning, that answer was yes. But, you know, now that I have kids of my own and a family, it's helped. You know, I think that the I don't want to say risky, that's the wrong word, but the very difficult, challenging part comes when you're trying to go through these difficult moments alone. I think that's when it can get very, very hard to get through, and the grief does intensify. So with that said, I would suggest to anyone who is dealing with a loss or still in a very grieving space is to make sure you connect with family, friends, loved ones. And if you just don't have any family near you or any friends, really maybe even a pet. I wish there was a service where, I don't want to say you could rent a pet, but you could, you know, like timeshare a pet. I know that sounds awful, but you know what I mean? Like I'll on Mondays and Thursdays and Sundays, you know, I'll keep them. And then, you know, I wish there was pets. There's pets that need homes. So maybe that's something that can happen, because pets are powerful. You know, they really are. And they just know how to give the love. They're very empathetic, especially dogs, incredibly empathetic, and they heal. So, what I'm trying to say is to make sure you do not spend it alone, especially in these holiday season. I think that's when you can get struggle and get into a place of intensified grief and struggle.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, especially because you're seeing everywhere on TV and stuff, you're going to see people together celebrating, you know, it's just, it's what it is. It's kind of the look of the holidays. Mm-hmm. So it will intensify your loneliness even more in that way.
Taj, can you share a coping mechanism that has been effective for you during the holiday season and may benefit others? And again, to the community out there, please answer it yourself. And I should say this for anyone who's watching on YouTube or even Facebook, maybe go over to YouTube and check out the live chat that is happening in real time during, because you'll see there's comments, and some people's comments may give, or people may give more advice, or what they comment may help you more than what we're saying. So I want to make sure people know about the chat, the live chat that's going on in YouTube while we record this. But go ahead, Taj, any coping mechanisms that have been effective for you?
I mean, I've kind of mentioned, like, basically my coping mechanism is to counterbalance in that way. And this is how my brain works. I don't feel like you can be sad and happy at the same time, like that, you know, or you can be mad and happy at the same time. It's just like, it's either, or there could be shades of gray in there, but it's one way or the other. And so I just, what I would do is I would put on something, even if I don't laugh once, put on something funny, a funny movie or something. Nostalgia is always, you know, depending on if you had a great childhood or whatever, nostalgia can be a great factor in that way, bringing you back to that time. Music does that for me in that way. I can't tell you, you know, how many times I've listened to Midnight Train in Georgia, Gladys Knight's, you know, song, because that like brings me back to a time. It's a weird power that song has, but it's her. It's, you know, it's like music's just music in that way. It brings me back. Probably if we did a study, mom might've listened to it and thought, you know, while I was in her womb or whatever, you know, like there probably is a reason for it, but there's something that nostalgia for me is very, 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 very powerful. And nostalgia doesn't have to be childhood. It could be anything that brings you back to a part where you were happy.
Nice. Anna says music and me. I know you said, what about me, Taj? For me, I think it's several things. I think it's working out, getting out, moving, connecting with nature, sunlight, reading.
You're naming all the stuff I don't do, which is like why I'm saying that. Like, it's so good that you do that because it's like that's what I should be doing.
It's true. Reading helps a lot. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, reading does wonders for me. You know, it really does. Like even Frances, if she sees I'm in a bad mood, just in general, she's like, you need to read. Give some time. Da, da, da. And within 30 minutes, it's like my favorite medicine. I don't know what it is. Tiffany says, I got to get back into my writing. Please, Tiffany.
Yes.
You know, it's don't ever stop. It's true. So one thing I want to say before I get on to the there was a comment that I see. I'm sorry. This is, I know, so unprofessional.
Well, while you're doing that, let me say something.
Yes, go ahead. Escapism
is not a bad word in that way. Sometimes it's good to escape. Sometimes it's good to go to another world, whether it's reading, whether it's watching a movie, whether it's playing video games, whatever it is. Sometimes that distraction is needed in that way, and you can recover from that.
Summer Violence says, I wasn't able to celebrate Christmas for over 10 years after my dad died, but now I love it again. So I remember someone asked, does it get easier this time of the year? I do feel it does. It just sometimes it just takes time. That's my experience and what my thoughts. Uh-oh, Taj, I'm about to sneeze again. I'm going to try to get this question off.
Yeah, time is your friend, you know, in that way.
Taj, the next question is, what is the self-care strategy that you implement to navigate your grief? Oh, we did this one, right?
Kind of. We said coping mechanism, self-care. Yeah, for me.
Okay. Yeah, it's a similar thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Reading. I did that one. Okay. Taj, is there a holiday memory you cherished of your lost loved ones? And you guys can answer too in the comments. I don't know if we have one, but
you know the thing for me is Mom. New Year's was Mom's jam. You know, as much as she loved Christmas and giving us Christmas presents and what we would always, the three of us, we'd always we'd want the same gift, so we'd get a bigger gift because we'd go in together, like, you know, oh, we want this console or whatever. So instead of asking for three separate things, we would ask for the same thing, and that was always a good strategy. So, but I would say, in terms of New Year's, was probably the most, I think it was psychologically, Mom like just loved starting the new year with us in general and the countdown and stuff. And I remember when I was high schoolish and, you know, with friends, and I could drive obviously, and down the street there was a hotel that I guess all my high school buddies were gonna have New Year's there in that way. And it was literally down the street, like 5-10 minutes down the street. You know which hotel it is, TJ, probably. And I went, and it just didn't feel right. And so I left the party early and made it for the countdown. And when I can tell you, when you see things matter for someone, my mom let me go. But then when coming back and realizing that I came back for the countdown, I'll never forget that memory. Like, wow. It meant so much to her. It meant a lot to me too, because I obviously, and that's why New Year's means more to me than Christmas in that way, because that memory of what that did for my mom was like, I felt like the best kid in the world at that point. So that's why New Year's has such a stronger weight than Christmas does for me.
That's cool, Todd. I love that you share that, because I think it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be just this holiday season. It could be the holiday season that your significant other or a loved one or a parent or a sibling, anyone, whoever's the subject in this manner, it just needs to be something that is memorable to you. And, you know, whether it's Easter, whether it's, you know, 4th of July, whatever it is, if you never know. And it just goes to show you, it doesn't have to just be a big holiday for you to feel that connection. Let's see. Okay, Taj, here's another question. Are there any new traditions or rituals you would like to introduce to honor and remember your loved ones during the holiday season? Again, for those of you, feel free to answer in your comments section, and I will try to highlight some of the best answers.
Well, especially for mom in general, like, you know, I just sat there telling you about New Year's and all that stuff. But Christmas was something that she loved for us in that way, giving to, you know, for us. And now having young daughters, I'm now starting to get in that mode, if that makes sense. I know you've already gone through that, the Christmas modes and stuff of getting Christmas presents and Santa and opening presents and all that stuff. And Elf on the Shelf is like the new thing that our cousin Lana, you know, got for us and in that way. So we're introducing that. But I know all of this stuff was tradition, and I feel like me being a good parent, or just me being, what is like honoring my mom in that way. So that's how I feel connected to mom, is by being the best dad, best parent I could be in that way.
Yeah. Brenda says, every year at midnight, New Year's Eve, I launch a few big fireworks for my brother in his memory. As we were out all night every New Year's Eve, setting off fireworks till like 6 a.m. out on the streets.
It's cool. See, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Let's see. Very cool. Very cool. Okay. And then we will go to the next question. Do you ever feel conflicted or guilty about experiencing joy during the holiday season while simultaneously grieving? Do you, Tosh?
I've never felt, you know, and I completely understand people that they feel like when they're grieving, they shouldn't be happy. Right. I never subscribe to that in that way, because I always feel like that's, you know, you are allowed to laugh while you're grieving. You're allowed to, you know, laugh and, you know, in that way. And so I've always given myself permission to do that in that way. So in terms of being happy during grieving, it's not something that I'm weary of, if that makes sense.
For me, I would say I've never felt guilty as well, Taj. I never experienced that. I can understand why some people may feel guilty or conflicted on how to feel, but I've never went through that whenever I've experienced joy during the holiday season.
Well, someone said it best, one of our listeners said it best, in terms of they, you know, some, the person that you lost probably would want you to be happy.
Yeah, great.
In that way.
And yeah, and Teresa says that our loved ones would not want us to feel guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Camila says, I never feel conflicted to feel joy. Like I said, mom and dad will want me to be happy, so I laugh with my entire being when someone is funny. I love that.
Yeah.
That's what everyone is saying. I love it. Sequoia too. No, because I know my loved ones would want me to be happy and laugh. It's 100% true, y'all. Our loved ones would. Carrie says, no, because my Nana wouldn't want that. She loved Christmas too much. And then Brenda says, I don't necessarily feel guilty. Okay, there we go. I don't necessarily feel guilty for being happy. They would want me to be. It's just the missing of them and just wanting them here. And then Isabel says, I feel more like I get sad when I see my child being happy and she's not there to see it. But I had felt guilty, especially for the first time I felt happy after. Summer Violins says, I don't feel guilty. We were actually laughing at the grave today because my sister was taking a picture and I smiled and I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't smile, and then joke with peace signs. I love that. I love that, because there, to me, this is just showing and proving that there's no proper way to be and to experience. But she goes on to say, and then joked with peace signs because my dad was such a jokester and loved kidding around. So we laughed because we knew dad would have laughed at it. It's awesome. I love that. Taj, anything else you want to add to this question? If you ever feel conflicted or guilty about being happy or experiencing joy during the holiday season while simultaneously grieving? Oh. You're muted, Taj. Taj is like, he's going in slow motion. So let me do this while Taj comes back. I want to also ask you all to please share your lost loved one's name so that we can honor their memory together. So make sure in the chat you put in your lost loved one's name so we know who you are honoring. I think that's a cool thing. Todd, I don't know, man. I think you may be done. As Ann says, you are glitching. So, yep, there he goes. So I think what we're going to do too, we're going to close. That was the last question we had. There's some comments though that I want to highlight. Some great comments. Lisa says, it's hard to celebrate this holiday. I just lost my mother at the end of August this year. And it's really, really hard. I have three brothers and I'm the only girl. Does it get any easier with losing your mother? We actually answered this one, Lisa. And then Summer Violence says, exactly a year ago today, I saw my grandma for the very last time before she died. So some tears were shed earlier today, but I'm doing okay because I also visited her grave with my sister today. It's so interesting how the gravesite does make you feel connected to them. But for some people, I guess it could bring more struggle because it reminds you. I was going through that phase where I didn't like the reminding, whether it was my, you know, people wearing my uncle's shirts or asking questions or showing pictures. Not that I didn't like them loving my uncle. It's just it brought me to a really down place because I realized it was a reminder that my uncle was no longer with us. But one thing I've made it clear is that that's one thing I loved and respected about Taj. He's helped me flip that into celebrating your lost loved one all the time. So that's been cool. As when we were doing our grading 1 through 10 with 10, the grief number of 10 being the highest grief, Tiffany says, I'm at a 7, but for the first time in about 6 years, I won't be alone. I'm spending it with my boyfriend, Mike. That's beautiful. That's really cool. Toria says, I feel like I'm going good as long as I don't mention how I'm really feeling. It's weird because I feel avoiding the emotions helps me get the impressions I'm great, if that ever makes sense. Yes, Toria, I do know what this means. I do know what this is like. I've went through this myself, but I feel like I've learned that if we can, I don't want to say control, but not let it overtake us. Letting our feelings and letting our emotions out is a healthy thing in the long run. I don't want you to ever just, you know, bury yourself in depression, being down, but every now and then remembering what you need to remember, what you're grieving, and thinking about how you're feeling and why you're thinking of, and having some positive approaches on how to get through that situation. I think in the long run, it's a good thing. Jack Love says, I think it changes for me every day on Wednesdays with you guys. I feel good and I feel a sense of community. On Mondays, I speak to my therapist. I vent a lot, but then have a good cry and then feel better. Thank you, Jack Love, for sharing that because I think it's good for people to know that not only that you're doing something twice, you're getting your fix twice a week, but that your therapist, it starts with sometimes a good cry and then how a good cry can make you feel better. I think it's important to hear over and on over and over again. Poor Taj. Taj, you're still frozen, I believe, my man.
Can you hear me, though?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, that's a start. I'm using a 2015 computer, and it feels like it.
Okay. So. April says, around the holidays, I always think about how it would be with my son if he was still here. He was 4 months old. When I lost him, it breaks my heart every day that I'll never get to experience him opening his first gift or first anything. He would be turning 3 this January. April, I don't know what to say, just that we are giving you the most love in the world possible. Can't imagine the loss. I know you're still experiencing, and I believe you're going to experience it for quite some time, if not forever. I don't want you to feel that means your life can't be as great as possible, because it can. One advice I would give you is to, when the time comes, not now, but do something in your son's honor if you haven't already, whether that's sponsoring a kid maybe with gifts that can't afford gifts, in the name of your son. There's many, maybe different things you could do. That was just one that came off the top of my head, but that is something that you may not realize can really help you during this time. It's helped me tremendously doing this show, talking and doing something in good honor for my mother. Using my mother's name has been so healing for me. So that's the only real advice I have for you. I'm not a mother. I've never went through your situation. I don't feel qualified to give you better advice. Just know that we are here. We are giving you the most love in the world possible. And like I had said earlier, this community may help you in your time of need. But please know there's no right way to feel, and you are perfectly right in feeling down when you do.
And TJ, just so that you know, April did, she posted to the community today, which was great.
Great.
With her story, and was very courageous to do so. And I say that because I know what that takes to reach out to strangers in a way and tell your story. And that it's something that I've always admired people that have been able to do that in that way.
Yeah. Carol says your show came on after my mom, aunt, and uncle died. It has been helpful. That's cool to hear, Carol. Thank you for sharing that. And it says, thank you, TJ, for highlighting how dangerous loneliness actually can be. Love your sharing about your dog at age 16. I love dogs so much. Their dogs are amazing. Carrie was laughing at my comment of rent a dog. Love that. I need to rent a dog. I know. It's funny, but it could be helpful. High schools do it, actually. High schools always do it. Taj, did you highlight this? Thank you both of you for doing the show and creating the support system. Absolutely.
I didn't mean to. Okay. If I did. I'm like on a 2-second delay with my touching screen, so I'm not going to touch anything anymore.
Summer Violence says, I wasn't able to celebrate Christmas for over 10 years after my dad died, but now I love it again. And Summer Violence, thank you for sharing this, because for those of you, could be anyone out there, especially those of you who are dealing with fresh grief and just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Think about Summer, who says it took her over 10 years, which is understandable. So it may take you that long. Just don't give up. Don't feel that you're not allowed to be happy again, especially during this time, or I shouldn't say especially, at any time, even this time, because you are. But it may take some time, and that is perfectly natural, and that's perfectly okay. Don't ever throw in the towel and just think that your life is now a life of misery, because that is not the case. You're going through a difficult moment. Who knows how much longer it's going to be, but there is a way out in time. So I appreciate this comment very much, Summer Violence, because people need to see this. And you know, this is something I would not have said because I've never experienced this. But for you to say it, it may resonate with others who needed to see it. So thank you.
Well, TJ, I mean, it's not the same thing, but I haven't, you know, and you know how big of a Three Stooges fan I am. I mean, I got him since Uncle Michael has passed, I haven't been able to watch the Three Stooges and I know there will be a time that will come where I can, but I haven't watched a complete episode, and they're only 20 minutes long. So, and I used to do that constant. That was like my joy in that way. So I get that when she mentioned that about Christmas for 10 years, like I'm still, I understand that aspect of it in that way. So it's interesting how things work, what triggers you and what doesn't in that way. And I know I will eventually, and I'm kind of saving it for a rainy day when I really need it. Cause it's my happy place. It's what brought me joy was through Jesus.
Yeah. Brandy says, we lost my cousin Donnell on October 24th, 2023, but he is now with his parents, brother, cousins, aunts, and uncles long down on us, celebrating all of them together as a family. You all are so unreal, so amazing. Okay, a couple more comments, Taj, and then Pelaine, I love this comment, and then we'll close the show. But Pelaine says, the best thing I've ever done to overcome grief and loneliness, especially through Christmas, is to give out scratch-off tickets to random people. The love and gratitude I give back is love and joy. I love this idea.
I like that.
I like this idea, Pelaine. You know, and it's funny because most of them obviously will not win, but the idea of just giving something and giving someone that chance is very impactful to people. So I love that you do this. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so Taj, Caitlin also says, maybe visiting an animal shelter, beneficial for grievers and the animals. Love this. Okay, so Taj, the last thing I want to share is, and this isn't really on the grief topic, kind of is, but I just wanted to give a shout out to Macaulay for his walk on the Hollywood Hall of Fame, Hollywood Walk of Fame, whatever it would be.
Yeah, Hollywood Walk of Fame, yes. Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, you know, and I felt this was a good way to close it as we're getting into the holiday season. He is the lead of what I would say one of the biggest Christmas movies, definitely my favorite Christmas movie. But the reason why is because he's brought so many people so much joy. And, you know, with people losing family members, this movie was so big. I'm sure this movie reminds people of their loved ones so much. And, yeah, just a shout out to you, Macaulay, and a big congratulations from all of us.
You just said holiday movie. Did you even say the name of the movie?
Home Alone?
You did?
I thought I did. Maybe not, though. Now I did. You were
like saying everything about the movie and how important it was and all that stuff. It was a holiday movie. I didn't
even Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did.
And it's Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, because you said Macaulay. You just like.
I know. For all the audio people. Thank you, Taj. So Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone, as you all know. Okay, yes, and then, Taj, we have a cool graphic I'm going to share.
All right.
Yeah, wishing our DDJF community gentle holiday season, a gentle holiday season. So there you all are. There you all go. And that's how we're going to close. We just wanted to wish you all so much love this holiday season. I think we are going to be out for the rest of the year. It's a busy rest of the year for us. So you may not be seeing us to 2024. If that's the case, please just enjoy your loved ones, enjoy your families. For those who are dealing with significant recent grief, please know that it's challenging. It's hard. No one knows what you're going through. No one can experience what you're going through, but please stay with it. Please stay strong as you can. It doesn't mean you have to be completely strong. You don't have to be a superhero. You can cry. You can break down. You can rely on others, but please know that in time, I think in time it does get easier. Okay.
Yeah.
Taj Jackson, anything else you want to say before we close?
No, I mean, as we close out this year, yeah, I know we're closing early, but as we close out this year, I just think for me in general, since it's only us two doing this right now, for the community, I want to thank them. I've always, you know, I think DDJF, you know, besides the board members, which we should thank as well.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's our strong community and our loving community and our accepting community. And I'm proud to be part of that community as well, but also I'm proud of the community. And I think we have an awesome support system group in that way, that if that was missing when mom passed for us. And I wish we would have had that in that way.
Well said, Taj. Well said. All right, that's it. I'm not going to even try to paraphrase it. I think Taj hit it on the head, and that's it. We will see you guys in 2024. Much love to you always, and adios, everyone. Bye.